Nina Kempel is our next guest. She has made history at these Olympic Games. She is the first American women's cross-country skier to compete in 4 Winter Olympic Games. She also has the most U.S. cross-country titles of all time, 15, right?
18 now.
18. Now, 18 titles and 4 Olympic Games is quite an achievement. You don't have a medal yet. Does it matter after all of that? That's a lot of glory.
Well, I think any Olympian at these games from any country would say that a medal is definitely what they're all after. But I think the medal is definitely icing on the cake. To finish up my 4th and final Olympics here in Salt Lake has been spectacular. The crowds have been great, you know, so encouraging to the Americans. And the venue up in Soldier Hollow has been just wonderful, as you said earlier. What a great place to finish it out. So, you know, I mean, Sunday is my final Olympic race, and there is no doubt that I'm skiing for a medal, but it would be icing on the cake. But the journey has been wonderful.
Yeah. We're talking on Sunday, February 17th. Your last race takes place as some people are listening to this. Tell me about the race. You've got a marathon. I mean, what would be a marathon for those of us who are not cross? Is it a cross-country ski marathon?
It is. It's the longest race, the most grueling race of all cross-country races. It's 30 kilometers, which is 18 miles. And the track here in Soldier Hollow is extremely challenging. You couple that with altitude of 6,000 feet, it is going to be a long and very tiring day. But you know, it's the marathon race in which it's so long, we actually have coaches out there holding little baby bottles full of sports drink, and we stop along the way and drink it on a downhill. So it will be very taxing, and the worst part is that I only have 2 hours to rest before the closing ceremonies.
Now, 4 years ago in Nagano, you decided you were worn out. You just overtrained, is that what it was?
Yeah, overtraining is a difficult word for cross-country skiers because we're addicted to training. We love doing it. You can't stop us. When you send us on vacation, we go sea kayaking or rock climbing. But, you know, I stepped over the line and you know, piled too much on my body. And I got to Nagano in what I thought would be, you know, my Olympics, and was just down and out and had no energy, nothing to give, and actually ended up watching most of the Olympics from the sidelines, which is a really extremely hard thing to do. Very tough time in my life after the Olympics. Had to decide, you know, was it something that I wanted to commit another 4 years to? Was my body going to be able to come back from what I had just gone through? And probably the biggest achievement in my life is kind of overcoming the physical aspects of being overtrained and sick, as well as overcoming the mental demons that kind of haunt you from going to an Olympics. And
how long did it take you to decide that that was the problem? I mean, the first thing that must have crossed your mind was that something was really wrong.
I did. I went to the doctors and they said, there is something really wrong with you. You need to take 6 months off and do nothing. You can't climb stairs. And to a cross-country skier, that's like a prison sentence. So that was hard, and that was the first obstacle to overcome. And then once I started coming back and getting back into shape, it really gave me a lot of empathy for the people who, you know, make a New Year's resolution to get in shape, because, you know, I used to be able to run 3.5-4 hours, you know, 25-30 miles in one time, and you know, I couldn't make it 3 miles without having to stop and walk and being out of breath. So it was really challenging coming back and getting back into shape and getting back into a level of fitness that I could compete with the best in the world.
Well, of course, you had decided by then that you were going to train for another Olympics. What did you do? You must have said to yourself, what I did in the past was not the right thing to do, but how do you change it at that point?
Well, you know, I think cross-country skiers peak at the age of 32 to 35, and I think the reason why they do that is it's a learning experience. Each time you step over the line, you learn that that was too far. So it's kind of like, you know,
I don't think that's limited to cross-country skiers, actually.
That is true. So I think what I learned from that was is a very good kind of point at which my body could take no more. And I think it really gave me a lot of insight into the last 4 years of training, and that I haven't ever, you know, done that again. And I've been very careful and much more aware of the, you know, the little signals that your body sends you on a day-to-day basis.
You were talking about all of the things that you've learned. In fact, you started out not cross-country skiing, but thinking that you would enter the Olympics as a runner.
I did. I saw Joan Benoit win the marathon on TV at the Olympics, and I said, that's what I want to do. And growing up in Anchorage, Alaska, some people kind of stopped me along my way and say, now, Nina, you know, running through the winter, deep snow, you might want to just try stepping on a pair of cross-country skis. And I definitely balked at first, but eventually decided that this cross-country skiing wasn't so bad and best decision I ever made because...
How different are they? I mean...
They're very, very similar. I mean, we do a lot of running in the summer to stay in shape, but cross-country skiing, definitely more of an overall body fitness workout. You use the stomach muscles, the arm muscles, the back muscles. So in retrospect, I mean, I think it's much healthier for me. I don't think I would be still running at the age of 31 if I had really gone for it at that age. You know, very few injuries in cross-country skiing and something that I'll be able to do for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Now, you also, after Nagano, decided to take a different training regimen. In fact, you moved to Norway, right?
I did. In fact, I moved to Norway before Nagano. I made the team very early and 17 years old, which in cross-country skiing is extremely young, and had all these great American stars to shoot for. And then after 94, they all retired and sort of faded off. And all of a sudden, I found myself kind of the number one on the U.S. ski team. And I said, okay, I got to do something to get even better. So I up and decided I could move to Norway or Russia, where the two best women in the world came from, and I figured Norway was the better choice. Moved to Oslo, Norway, trained there with two world champions in day-to-day, and it was a wonderful experience, both for my skiing and as a person. I mean, living in a different country is a unique experience that is pretty special.
Watching this Olympics, it seems to me that there more and more American athletes are training abroad, trying to train with the best in their sport, whatever it is. What happens to you when you go there, though? In your case, do the Norwegian athletes say to you, oh, sure, come on in?
Well, actually, they definitely did not. At first, they kind of looked at me up and down and said, what are you doing here? Luckily, there was a running time trial. On the second day, I arrived, and I won the time trial by 10 seconds, and the coach said, all right, you're all right. You can come train with us now.
Yeah, well, you're lucky, I guess, that it worked out that way. Did they? How is it different there? How does a Norwegian train for cross-country skiing as opposed to an American? Is there a different attitude?
You know, there is a different attitude. Norwegians definitely treat it as a 9-to-5 job. When they're out there and they're training or they're racing, it is what they're doing and they are focused on it. But when they go home at night, they go home to their wife, their children. Many of them have families. It's not talk about skiing. And the difference is the American team is forced to be abroad, living out of hotel rooms, out of a duffel bag for 6 months at a time. Your life tends to be more kind of wrapped up in ski racing. So it was nice for me to kind of realize that ski racing was very important to me, but it is not the end all, and it is that I could actually have a very normal life outside of skiing.
So you have one last race to run. Will you actually stop competing at that point after that race, do you think?
I don't think I'll ever stop competing, but it will be my last Olympic race. That is definitely true. I'll actually fly to Europe 2 days after the Olympics and finish out the season. But it will be my last and final Olympic race. And, you know, it's funny. I have definitely a more calm perspective on this Olympics than I ever have before. Maybe it's because I know it's my last in Olympics. But definitely taking a little more time to soak it all up, to going down to the Medals Plaza tonight to kind of see train and, you know, trying to get out and enjoy it more and really savor these memories because I know this one will be the last one.
Yeah. Well, fantastic. Nina Kempel, who has 18 cross-country ski titles, and in her fourth and final Olympics. I hope you win the race.
I do too.
Thanks.